chapter 21, the book of Acts, chapter 21, verse 13. Paul has heard prophecy. He has recognized the threat on his life because of his stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And here is his statement. Verse 13, chapter 21, the book of Acts. Then Paul answered, "What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready, not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." That's quite a commitment, isn't it? His statement, "I'm ready. I'm ready." Praise God. Be ready. That's what we'll call this tonight. Be ready. You may be seated. Now, the setting of this passage that we read here is Caesarea. Paul is in Caesarea. He's journeyed several times. His third journey is coming up. It'll end in Rome. And he is currently at Caesarea, visiting there with Philip. And we remember Caesarea because the Spirit of God reached out to Cornelius with an angel's visitation. And the Spirit of God reached out to Peter, who was miles away. But I like the way God works on both ends. Amen. Both situations that needed spiritual intervention, that needed direction and guidance, God took care of it. You know, just like Abraham on the mountain, when he and Isaac were walking up one side for the sacrifice, a ram was walking up the other side, if you can imagine. Or maybe the Lord put it there days before. At any rate, the Lord worked out the solution, the answer, before it actually began. And so now here in Caesarea, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost with Cornelius and his household, the baptism in Jesus' name that took place immediately following, no delay, no, if you think it's a good idea. No, Peter commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Thank God for the new birth, born of the water and of the Spirit. Praise God. And so Paul is back at this place, the Caesarea, and he is visiting with Philip. Now we remember Philip from the revival in Acts chapter 8 of Samaria, and then also with the Ethiopian. And both, again, both instances, born of the water, born of the Spirit, would take place. Amen. And it doesn't specifically say it in Acts chapter 8 that the Ethiopian received the Spirit, but I remember Brother Treese doing research in the library in Alexandria, Egypt, up on the ladder among the stacks of documents, reading the Greek and almost falling off the ladder in his excitement when he discovered that the Ethiopian received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. So the documentation is there, and thank God we know how powerful that is. Now, Philip, being an evangelist and living in Caesarea, had four daughters who were living for God. Thank the Lord. Amen. It's good when a family serves God together. A prophet named Agabus came to that place, to Philip's house, and he bound his hands and feet with a belt, and he said, "The owner of this belt is going to be bound at Jerusalem." Now, this is a second time that a warning of this sort has come to the Apostle Paul. In Acts 20 and 23, the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And he knew it. He knew what the Spirit was directing. But yet his response is what we read. What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? You know, he's basically responding like a man would respond. I don't want crying. I don't want my heart to break because of your sorrow. I'm ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. And that readiness is what I want to focus on tonight, the readiness. A readiness to die, a readiness to go with the Lord should the trumpet sound, a readiness for ministry. Everybody say ministry. Ministry, because that's our focus in this year. And 1 month is already gone. My goodness. Just amazing how quickly it goes by. But Agabus witnessed in the Holy Ghost. In fact, he said, thus saith the Holy Ghost. And he gave that prophecy in verse 11. Now, Paul had been living by that principle. It was not something new to him. He knew the voice of the Spirit. He knew the direction that the Spirit could give. He knew how emphatic and how important it was to be able to adhere to the direction that the Lord would provide. In Acts 13 and 2, they ministered to the Lord and fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, he heard the voice of the Spirit again. And the elders who were there praying and fasting heard the Holy Ghost say, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Wasn't called Paul just yet, but that's who we know him as. And Paul was following the leading of the Spirit. And we know that this is important because Romans 8 and 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. There's that relationship. There's that Father, Son, and God and people, a relationship that the Lord desires us to have, being led by the Spirit. Philippians 1 and 19, Paul looks at the circumstances. If you read the context, he looks at the circumstances of his imprisonment and possible execution and all of the things that could be going wrong. But he says, I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer. He had confidence in the prayer of the church at Philippi and then all of the other churches as well. He knew how powerful prayer can be. And then he pointed out the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Praise God. He had a readiness. He had an ability. He had a commitment because of being led by the Spirit and relying upon the supply of the Spirit. Aren't you glad that supply never goes dry, never runs out, never is going to be a lack? But the power of the Lord is there. Amen, for the blessings and the strength of God. So Paul emphatically states, I'm ready to be bound. I'm ready to die. It doesn't matter. And he was willing to be expended for the cause of the Lord. Ephesians 6 and 20, he calls himself an ambassador in bonds. Most ambassadors have a great deal of freedom, a great deal of authority and expense accounts, and throw lavish shindigs and so on. But yet Paul is using that aspect of an ambassador, and he says, I'm in bonds. In Acts 20 and 22, he said, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Even though the Spirit was warning him, even though the Spirit was foretelling what was going to happen, he said, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. Amen. And thank God he didn't allow his bonds in imprisonment to discourage him to the point of giving up or to becoming one who would complain and whine and murmur and carry on. No, he said in Philippians, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. Praise God. And I like that aspect that holds on to the promise and the power of God. Look at Philippians 1:13. Again, he mentions my bonds. My bonds in Christ, he said, are manifest. They're not hidden. They're not secretive. They're manifest. Everybody can see them. In the palace, they can see them. Whose palace is he talking about? In the palace. Could it be King Agrippa? Could it even be Caesar? Didn't matter to him. Wherever I go, my bonds in Christ, my commitment to him, my desire for him is above everything else. And I'm going to live that way. In fact, Philippians 4:22, he talks about those who are in Caesar's household. Caesar's household? Christians in Caesar's household? Believers in Caesar's household? Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled believers in Caesar's household? Yeah, that's what he's talking about. So his bonds in Christ being manifest, praise God. And he said, I'm ready to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, for somebody to be ready to die for a fable, be ready to die for a fairy tale, ready to die for a legend, you know, I was shocked to read in the news about a uproar in India over a film that was going to be released that depicted a legend of a lady. They're not even sure she lived. Not even sure she was alive. But they were concerned about the way the film depicted this lady that they're not even sure had lived, and the way she refused to accept a religion, if I remember right, is how. And get this, there was talk of a mass suicide. This woman, in the legend, set herself on fire rather than submit to Islam, I think it was, or whatever the problem was, whatever the situation was. And there were over 1,000 women who were going to do that in protest of how this film was projecting their legend. Well, I guess that level of commitment is, I never heard anything about it actually happening. I'm sure it would have been on national news if 1,500 ladies set themselves on fire. But it didn't happen. Is that in the same class as Paul saying, I'm willing to die for the name of the Lord Jesus? I can't even remember the lady's name, but I sure remember the name Jesus because of the power of that precious name. Praise God. Amen. Now Paul, him saying, I'm ready to die, and I'm sure when he said that, immediately flashed in his mind Stephen, who was being stoned to death while Paul held the coats of those who were throwing the stones. I wouldn't doubt, but that image stayed in his mind when he could recall Stephen saying, Lord Jesus, lay not this sin to their charge. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You know, he could probably remember that. But Acts 15:26, Paul and Barnabas being selected by the Holy Ghost to go forth, they are recognized in this verse as men that have hazarded or risked, is how the NIV says it, risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And indeed, their preaching and their ministry and their willingness to be used of God caused them to be mistreated to a huge degree expelled out of Pisidian Antioch. Paul stoned at Lystra. The very same thing that he remembered happening in Stephen's life. And Paul suffering that same fate. But getting up and going into the city and then the next day moving on. That's the miraculous touch of God. Amen. And whether he was dead or not, and I personally believe he did die. Because that's usually the job that was done on those who were stoned. Not just a few bruises and a few cuts, but life being beaten out of them. But Paul, in 2 Timothy 2 and 9, acknowledged the trouble that he had experienced. He said, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds." He's mentioning these bonds again because they were real for him. He had spent time in prison. He had spent time traveling on a ship and then being shipwrecked and all kinds of things that happened to him, the bonds that he suffered. But the word of God is not bound. Amen. I like the way he adds that. Because we know how powerful the Word of God can be. We know what it can do, the liberty that it can produce, the freedom that it can make those who hear it and desire it and love the truth. Praise God. I'm thankful for the truth of the Word of God. And so we find the end of Paul's life, or at least the end of the record that Luke, the doctor, writes in Acts 28 and 31. Paul is preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence and no man forbidding him. Praise God. And for 2 years, he lived in a hired house, and I think the Roman government underwrote the expenses for him to preach about Jesus Christ. Praise God. And then we know he paid the ultimate price. But I want to point your attention now to Paul's readiness. Romans 1 and 15. Paul would declare, "I am ready to preach to you at Rome as well." And his commitment to even die for the name of the Lord Jesus carried over into his desire to preach about the life that is in Jesus Christ. "As much as in me is." You got to consider what was in Paul. We know what was in Saul of Tarsus. We know the hatred. We know the slaughter. We know the threatenings that he carried out for the church. But now, what an incredible change. "And as much as in me is," the spirit that was compelling him, the love of Christ that would not let him go, the power of the name of Jesus that brought about miracles, special miracles, by the hand of Paul, and all of the tremendous things that he saw. He knew it was not fake. He knew it was not make-believe. He knew it was not something that could just be passed over as a fraud. No, he knew the power that it had to change. His life was changed. And then he saw many other lives changed and knew the blessings of the Lord. Mars Hill in Athens, Acts chapter 6, 17. The philosophers who wanted to hear what Paul had to say. And Paul, recognizing the situation, he saw the idolatry that was in Athens. And the Bible says his spirit was stirred in him. He couldn't just let it slide. He couldn't just say, "Oh, well, I'm only here for a few days." No, he had to step forward and be a witness. He had to preach. "I'm ready to preach," he would declare. The philosophers invited him. They wanted to learn about this new doctrine that he set forth. "He seems to be a setter forth of strange gods," they said. "And we want to know." Along with their interest came insults. "What will this babbler say?" "Okay, you preacher of Babel, come on and tell us what you got." Well, that would offend people, and that would turn them away, but not the Apostle Paul. You see, he's ready. He's ready. Praise God. And Paul preached Jesus. And he preached the resurrection. And he preached the word of God, the power of God. Some laughed. Some procrastinated. Some delayed. But some believed. And which of those three groups had a good night's sleep? Which of them woke up with a smile on their face? Which of them had peace and joy like they'd never known before? It wasn't the procrastinators. It wasn't the mockers and scoffers. It was those who believed. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord. There are results that come to those who believe and those who desire the hand of the Lord. Paul testified to King Agrippa and Governor Festus, high officials in the region. And he told King Agrippa, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself." Amen. And it reminded me of Peter, you know, be ready to give an answer. Here's Paul saying, "I'm going to answer." And what did he do? He gave his testimony. "I saw a light from heaven. And I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision." Praise God. You have a testimony that is effective as well. Man, it may not have been a light from heaven, but you sure saw light in the scripture. Amen. You chose to obey the word of God. You got baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus, and you were filled with the Spirit, just like the Lord says in his word. You've got a testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. And Paul challenged the king. "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" Then he answered his own question. "I know you believe." That's putting the king on the spot. And probably the only one who had ever done it. Because most likely the king had great power. And Festus would cry out, you're crazy. Much learning hath made you mad. And he would deny it. "I'm not mad." And then King Agrippa would sarcastically say, "Now you almost persuade me to be a Christian?" You know, and he's kind of mocking Paul. He's not on the edge of conversion. He's mocking Paul, saying, "You think you can convert me with just a few words like this? You think you could spend a little bit of time here and change my mind?" And the Apostle Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether like as I am, except for these bonds." Amen. I like the way he is ready. It didn't require him to spend a great deal of time studying and preparing and psyching himself up and all of this kind of stuff. He was ready. And that's what I want to see in our lives, with a readiness to minister. Praise God. Because there will come the time when we will say like the Apostle Paul, "I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me, and not to me only, but all them that love his appearing." Praise God. That's a lot of crowns, isn't it? I don't want you to miss out on yours. Amen. 2 Timothy 4 and 6, his readiness carried over into the departure. "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Now, if there's a departure, there has to be a destination. There has to be a place you're going to arrive. Amen. And thank God, there's that place that the Lord has prepared for us. So the readiness, that's important. Again, Peter saying, "Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to those who ask the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." Thank God for the hope that is in us. Amen. The Lord put that hope there, that we're not going to be in this place forever. I mean, he has a better place for us. And that's what Paul was so persuaded of. That's what he was so committed to, that he said, you can tie me up, and that's okay. You can kill me, and that's all right too, but I'm not going to give up on the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. And thank the Lord, there's that kind of hope that you and I have as well. Let me share 1 Peter 3:15 with you from the Amplified. But in your hearts, set Christ apart as holy and acknowledge him as Lord. Always be ready to give a logical defense to anyone who asks you to account for the hope that is in you, but do it courteously and respectfully. Amen. The hope that is in you. Thank God. I'm thankful that it's in the word of the Lord, and then the word of the Lord is in us. And we recognize, oh my, this is powerful. This is important. The hope that is in you. It's a hope that will change you. 1 John 3 and verse 3. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Praise God. And thank the Lord. There's that recognition that I have a hope. And my hope is going to bring a change to me, a change now and a change then. Praise God. And thank the Lord. The answer is Jesus. Praise God. Very simple. You need an answer? The answer is Jesus. Praise God. And the power of the Lord is there in this goodness. Amen. I talked one time to a man who was indulging in the occult a bit, and he was describing it a little bit, and then he kind of threatened me, trying to scare me, I guess. And I just smiled and I said, "I've got one answer for you. I've got one word for you, Jesus." Praise God! Thank the Lord. Amen. Be ready. Be ready. Jesus said, "Be you also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." When you're not, you know, feeling like you need to be prepared, when you're feeling like you've got some time, and you feel like, I don't need to get so serious about serving God right now. I don't need to nail it down so strong. I'll have time later on. Jesus said, "Be ready." Be ready. Amen. Noah was ready. And it didn't happen overnight. It was over 100 years that he was building that ark for the saving of himself and his family. He took that responsibility very seriously. And then there came the day that the Lord shut the door. And 7 days later, it began to rain. And the fountain of the deep was broken up. The water levels rose very, very high. And Noah, his sons, their wives, the only ones who survived. Be ready. Jesus told about the 10 virgins. All had lamps. All heard the call. All trimmed their lamps. But only 5 had the oil necessary to keep their lamp burning. The bridegroom came, the Bible says, in Matthew 25 and 10, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, that's a story. That's a parable that Jesus told. But oh my, how powerful and realistic that aspect of they that were ready went in and the door was shut. Just like the ark, and the door was shut by God. It wasn't Noah and his sons using the pulleys and the ropes and mechanically getting the door up finally and sealing it and so on. The Lord shut it supernaturally. And the same way, this is going to happen. Amen. Revelation 19. John is hearing the praise, he's hearing the worship, and the anticipation must be building, the excitement must be getting greater and greater. He heard the voice of a great multitude and a large crowd that would be hollering out and maybe singing, maybe praising, maybe worshiping, but a great multitude. And then he compared it to many waters, like a large waterfall or ocean beach that the waves are coming ashore. Then he said it's like mighty thunderings. And each description, I can imagine his excitement building higher and higher, his thrill of what was going to take place growing and growing. He said, "Be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb has come." Praise God. And perhaps the most important verse there, as far as we are concerned, the most important verse, verse 7, "His wife hath made herself ready." Amen. How was she made ready? She was dressed in fine linen, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. Amen. And Ephesians 5 and 27 goes along with that. He's going to present himself a glorious church. Thank God, a glorious church is what the Lord died for, is what the Lord is preparing, is what the Lord is calling out of darkness and into his marvelous light. A glorious church, a church that will walk with him in the power of the Spirit, a church that will be bonded with him, a church that is an ambassador for him, a church that is cleansed, praise God. Oh, yes, and ready to die for his name. Amen. But more importantly, ready to live for his name. Amen. Praise God. And it's a church that doesn't have spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. Praise God. Now, here we are in the second month of 2018. Think back to this time last year. How many were ready for the rapture then, but are not now? That's a scary thought. They were walking with God. They were obeying God. They were following his word. They were alive in the Spirit of the Lord. But today, a year later, not going well for them spiritually. Pretty negative thought. All right, let's change our thinking. How many are ready now that weren't ready then? Praise God. Oh, yes. Thank the Lord for the growth that the Lord has provided. And thank God that we have a desire to be ready. Now, think of this. How do you get ready for hell? We know what to do to get ready for heaven. We know there's obedience to the Word of God. We know there's born of the water and born of the Spirit, baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with his Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in an unknown language, supernatural evidence of the Lord working in your life, and then doing the best you can to obey the word of the Lord and let your life be changed step by step, day by day, moving into that realm of pleasing the Lord. We know that's getting ready for heaven. What do you have to do to get ready for hell? That might be a good Bible study sometime, huh? How to get ready for hell. You don't have to do a thing. Just continue living in sin. Continue being disobedient to the things of God. Continue ignoring God and his word. Continue just going headstrong, self-willed, and selfishly looking after your own interests, you'll end up in hell. Now, hell was not made for you and me. Matthew 25:41, hell was made for the devil and his angels. So, to get ready for hell, you just keep following the devil. You just keep letting yourself be deceived. You just keep going right on and believe his lies and follow his lead. But to be ready for heaven, no big deal. Amen. No big setting yourself on fire or jumping off a cliff or any of those crazy things that people think would be required as a sacrifice. No, we make ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is just reasonable in light of what he has done for us, to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Now, we thank God for increase. We thank God for growth. We thank God for numbers. We thank God for people. Amen. But I want you to understand, you've got to be ready for decrease. You've got to be ready for it. The decrease. Because John 3:30 lets us know this principle that is so important. He must increase. I must decrease. A very simple command that has got to be followed through. I've got to decrease. My ambitions, my goals, my self-will, my selfish desires, my own lust and direction and so on, that's got to decrease. In fact, it's got to be eliminated. But the Lord and his word and his power and his blessing, there's got to be the increase. Now, that's easy to say. That's easy to make a point on a Thursday night. But it's a lifelong challenge that you've got to be able to fulfill. And the Apostle Paul basically met that challenge. That's why he was saying, I'm ready. I'm ready. The bonds don't scare me. The afflictions don't scare me. I'm ready to die. Because he knew about decreasing and letting the Lord increase. Amen. Amen. How important to follow through on that again and again. And our commitment to get ready, to be ready, to stay ready. Praise God for the coming of the Lord. Amen. And here we are in a wonderful country. And I'm not endorsing anybody's politics or anything like that. I honor the president and stand for the flag and all of those things and thank God for it. And the liberty that I have to choose to follow the Lord and to obey him. Praise God. I'm glad for it. And I've got to make it a strong personal goal within myself that I will be ready. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And furthermore, be ready for what the Lord would direct us to do, to reach and to teach. Praise God. To stay and to pray. To be alive and thrive. Let the hand of God continue to operate within your life with a readiness for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand. Oh, God, help us. Amen. Okay. He knew that living would involve his involvement totally with Christ. Sold out. Not holding anything back. Christ is all. And then to die, that's not a loss, that's a gain. Amen. He recognized to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. He knew the value of being ready. Praise God. And I hope we do. I hope we understand how how important that is. Because there are people that are hurting in this world. They have no answer for drug addictions. They have no answer for broken homes. They have no answer for wayward children. They have no answer for the heartache and the hopelessness in their hearts. You have that answer. And you know how powerful it is. You know how life-changing it is. You know how fulfilling it is. Because God has blessed you over and over and over. Amen. And His goodness is everlasting. Praise God. His mercy is never ending. Amen. That means a whole bunch more can come and receive it. A whole bunch more can experience it. Amen. How to get ready for hell? Don't do a thing. How to get ready for heaven? Accept God's mercy. Ask His forgiveness. Be baptized in His powerful name. Be filled with His wonderful Spirit. And then start a whole new life. Amen. Praise God. In eternity, we'll be praising Him because we are ready, determined to be ready. Now, before we come and pray, I want you to focus on two things. Two things. Your readiness for the coming of the Lord, the return of the Lord. I'm going to be ready for that. The second thing you focus on tonight is be ready for ministry. Amen. Be ready for the outreach. Be ready to teach the Bible studies. Be ready to bring people to the house of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. All right, let's come and pray.